people who were incredibly loving that were all offering her a place to stay, to the point that at any given time, Anna had at least 5 or 6 house keys, including mine, you know.
Wow.
So she could literally just and go, that's how much the people loved her that she met when she came to Memphis. Because when you do this for real, you start to meet the loving people. And the and the loving people, and the people who love you, always take care of you, and you always take care of them. You always make sure, because it's a pleasure to be with each other. It's not a sacrifice. It's not you making yourself do anything. And so even when our ego comes up, we got sense enough to know that it's our ego, and our commitment to our relationship allows us to continually come go through anything that our ego has ever come up between us in the last 20 years. Our desire to join, our value of how we see each other makes us want to keep our relationship strong.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, to me, relationships are just ridiculously complicated, and they're not complicated at all. We just don't want to face the truth. And sometimes facing the truth means admitting that what you are experiencing right now with this person isn't love, and it isn't real, and you really need to let it go, you know. And sometimes I don't want to admit that, so I'll try to hang on to that illusion until it hurts so much I have to let it go. And that's what's so good about an illusion. The Course said, will reach its limit. And so you can only go so far in pain, and you will stop. It's a pain. You know, joy can go on forever, but pain can't. And that keeps me going, you know what I'm saying? So in our relationship, we've had things come up in 20 years. But it's never been strong enough to stop us from wanting to be each other's savior, because we really see where we are. And we really want to be in the real world with the Course is talking about, where there really is love.
So cool.
Yeah, so it's good to have a person in your life that is you can be totally defenseless with, that you don't have to worry about what level you're expressing yourself on, whether you seem positive, whether you seem negative, whether you're in your body, whether you're out your body. It's like you're in the presence of somebody that any way you choose to express yourself in the moment, y'all feel safe enough. Yeah, y'all feel safe enough to do that. And if you can create that in a so-called male and female relationship, that's phenomenal. It's not hard for me to get to that place with my male buddies. You know, because we see each other as the same, and usually we're not trying to be in a special relationship with each other anyway, in the form that we would try to be with the female. So it's a whole other level of safety there, you know. So, but the Course in Miracles is so practical. Like, we look it up on page 76, and I'm going to read to you and see if through me you can hear this in a way you haven't heard before. Because what it's saying is too awesome. Yeah, but I'm really thankful for Anna. She's an incredible, incredible being. And I know a lot of them, just like the people sitting in this room. What's going on? You got nerve enough to come today, huh?
I had the nerve.
Okay. All right. I just want to leave all right, then. All right. I want a little chocolate flavor to my Course class today. All right. That's okay. That's okay. That's all right. I approve of your body choice. Just do your appreciate. Isn't that great? Because, you know, people have so much insecurity, you know, about their body. Like, you need somebody to approve. You know what I'm saying? I approve. Everything is, y'all's bodies are fine. Everything is cool. Okay? All right. You're not it, though. That's the problem. And every time we think we are, that's when the trouble begins. That's what the Course says. Like I said, it's a point blank. So every time you believe you're a body, that's where all your pain is coming from. Your perception of yourself is wrong. You are a god, and your body is just a communication device to allow you to bring love into the world to heal everybody. But you got caught up on the body, and now the body is you, and now you're going through a lot of pain because you're freaking about what the body does all the time. Whether it's going to be fed, whether it's going to be affection given to it, whether it's going to be rich. It's like the book is so deep. You ever heard a book say something like that?
No, I haven't.
Me either. And the ego says, what does that have to do with my bills?
Right.
Doesn't it? Yeah. It says, what does this have to do with my bills? What does this have to do with my boss giving me a hard time at work or whatever? But okay, here's a classic example of the Course in Miracles shock. It says, God does not guide. See, that's totally different from everything I was taught. He says, God doesn't guide because God can share only perfect knowledge. guidance is evaluative, because guidance implies there's a right way and also a wrong way. One way to be chosen, the other way to be avoided. By choosing one, you give up the other. The choice for the Holy Spirit is the choice for God. God is not in you in a literal sense. You are part of God. When you chose to leave God, when you chose to leave God, when you chose to leave God, when you chose to leave love, God gave you a voice to speak for God, because God could no longer share his knowledge with you without hindrance. Direct communication was broken because you had made another voice. Okay, everybody understand that? Oh, you got that? Yeah, that was. Did you have a beautiful example of hearing the words from A Course in Miracles and not really knowing what you just heard?
All the time.
Did you have that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if we can hear this paragraph. Let's see if we can hear one paragraph today for real. Okay. Okay. In the Course says God is love, really, the Creator. Okay. So he says the Creator, which is love, doesn't guide. There's no need to guide you because I've given you complete knowledge. It says you know everything. You obviously don't need any guidance. So I'm not guiding you because you know everything. I'm not guiding you because you have the answer to everything. So this is what God is telling us, right? Then God tells us, says, also, guidance is evaluative. And that means when you think you need guidance, it's the same as you saying that you think there is a right way and you think there is a wrong way. And so you need some guidance about which way to go. Because I think there is a right way and a wrong way, I need guidance, because guidance is evaluative. Okay, let me know when I lose it, because all we need is one paragraph clearly to change our consciousness level. That's all we need. We don't need a lot. We don't need the whole book. Okay. I'll say it again. God isn't guiding us because guidance insinuates that there's a right way and a wrong way, that you've got to choose one way and you've got to avoid another way. By choosing one way, you're going to give up the other way. That's what guidance indicates. By choosing one way, you're going to give up the other way. He says, now, when you choose for love, when you choose for the Holy Spirit, when you choose for the truth, when you choose for the truth, he says, then you have made the choice for God. You've made the choice to be happy. Whenever you choose for the truth, you've made the choice to be happy. So let's back up. The Creator doesn't guide us because the Creator gave us all the knowledge we'd ever need when we were created. But also we need to understand that guidance is evaluative. That means we believe there's a right way and a wrong way. There's one way we need to choose and another way we need to let go of. Okay? Every time you choose to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, every time you choose to listen to your sane mind, every time you choose to listen to the truth, you made the choice for God. You made the choice for your happiness. Since you believe in guidance and you believe in the right way and the wrong way, then every time you choose for the truth, you've chosen the right way, and so you've made the choice to be happy. Every time you choose to apply the truth, that's how you know you've really made the choice to be happy. All right. God isn't in you in the literal sense. The truth is, I love this, everything isn't in you in the literal sense. You are just part of everything. You're part of everything, but everything isn't in you. In a literal sense, in a physical sense, everything isn't in you. At a physical level, you know everything isn't in you. At a physical level. Here's what he says. But you're part of everything. You're part of God. Okay, you're part of love. Then it says, when you chose to leave God, when we chose to leave our home, when we chose to leave God, when we chose to leave peace, when we chose to leave our natural state, the Course says, then God gave us a voice that will continue to speak for God. Soon as I made the choice to be unhappy. The minute I make the choice to lose my peace, then he says, then God would give me a voice that would speak for the peace while I wasn't in peace. Okay? Every time I'm angry, then God gave me a voice that speaks for not being angry. Whenever I'm afraid, then God gives me the voice to speak for not being afraid. That's what he says. Every time I choose to leave God, every time I choose to leave happiness, then happiness gives me a voice that keeps reminding me of it while I'm gone.
If we'll listen.
If I listen. Then that's what it's saying right here. He said, because first you used to know you were happy. He says, but now you need to be reminded of happiness. How simple can that be? You used to be totally in love and totally in abundance. Now you need to be reminded of it. Now you need a voice to keep reminding you that you deserve peace, that you deserve abundance, and that you deserve love. He said, because now I can't give my knowledge to you directly because you're not listening to my voice. How can I tell you how to get to my house if you're not listening to me? And you making up how to get to my house, but you don't even know where my house is. And I'm telling you where my house is, but you listening to what you're telling yourself. So I gotta keep reminding you of what you want while you've forgotten about it. That's what he's telling us. That's what love does. That's how love operates. So it's like if you took the word God in the Course in Miracles and you really use love, and a lot of times when you see ego, use the word fear or use fearful thought, it'll give you an entirely different experience of the Course. It's 10 times more powerful. And then I used to ask myself, how did I break direct communication with God? If I used to have this direct communication to my Creator, why is it that I don't have this direct communication? And then the Course answers that question right there on the page. You had made another voice. Earl, you don't hear what I'm telling you because you're just listening to yourself. Earl, you are just listening to the voice that you're making up, so you're breaking direct communication with me. I am trying to tell you the loving way, but you've made up another voice that you're listening to. So I need to put a voice in your mind that'll remind you of me while you lost in your misery and your fear. I need to give you a voice that will remind you of me because you're choosing not to listen to my voice. That's what paragraph 5 said to me. But yeah, so I'm gonna try to get this again. I want to walk away from this here with my mind changed. If you choose one voice, you'll be giving up the other voice. Every time you choose to listen to what the truth that you're studying is teaching you, you've made the choice to be happy. That's the key thing out of that for me. There are two voices. If I choose to listen to the voice for God, then I'm choosing to be happy. And the reason why I don't hear God's guidance right now is I'm listening to myself, and I'm listening to what the world taught me. I'm listening to what I taught me. I listen to what my fears taught me. I'm listening to what my past has taught me, and that's keeping me from listening to what the present is teaching me. Because it's in the present that my power is located. My power is located right here, sitting in this chair, talking to you. And your power is sitting right there in where you are, in the chair where you are, because all power is now. All power is in the now. There is only now. So direct communication with God is being here now. And listening to the voice that's steering you toward the things that bring you peace in your heart. And you can tell when you're going toward the things that bring peace in your heart because of the way you feel. And when you really start to wake up, you realize that your happiness is going to be consistent. But the forms and appearances that it comes to you in is going to continually change. And so you start to lose your attachment to form and appearances. And you find yourself being able to let stuff go faster. Because you know it's not going to stop your happiness. Your happiness is just going to take the better form. And the test is, when it shows up, Will you listen to that voice that's telling you love, or will you listen to the voice that you made up based on what you went through in the past? Am I going to use what I know right now with this person, or am I going to bring all of my past experiences that have nothing to do with this person into this moment so that I can miss the person and relive my past again? You know what I'm saying? And I'm having that choice all the time in my relationships right now. This is so true. But it's incredible to know that every single time you do anything to make yourself unhappy or to make you think that something is lost, there's going to be another voice that's going to always be reminding you that there is no loss and that it's going to give you the thing you think you lost. Because the voice for God is going to always speak for whatever you think is missing. It's going to remind you that you can't have what you want. So you can tell when you're listening to the Holy Spirit's voice, because it will be reminding you that you can have what you want peacefully.
Struggle.
Yeah, I mean, like, oh, this is really complicated. You mean, what's the voice for God? The one that's telling me I can be happy peacefully. Okay. That's paragraph 5. What y'all think about paragraph 5?
Good one.
What you like about it? Talk to me a little bit. What was
well,
it kind
I read
of
it
about?
The other day, so I kind of gone through it really slowly again. So just listening to you was just a reminder that, you know, I went through that period where I didn't think I was hearing the voice, and now I've got past the conflict, and now I'm like, I still really did hear.
Yeah.
I think once you're willing to hear and you experience that joy, it's so easy for discernment to go. When your ego starts popping up and you're like, you really can start to feel like, oh, that doesn't feel good, that's not, oh no. As soon as you feel yourself getting off balance, it's like, at first you might think this is going to bring you joy, but then you're, for something comes in and starts tweaking, it's like, oh no, I need to come back to balance. So you get more discernment, you know what I mean? You're just like, this is what truly brings me joy, nothing else. And so it gets so easy for discernment, you know what I mean? It gets so easy to feel like your choices become easier. You know, you choose right away. Oh, you can tell the minute it starts tweaking you, ego.
I had that happen just this morning. I had that happen just this morning about a new relationship. And it was like, this feels like drama. You can like tell at the very beginning, you know. And then there are other relationships that are new in your life that you're willing to just see how it shows up instead of trying to manipulate it into what you think you want it to be. And that's what I'm trying to do with all my relationships. That's what I am doing. You know, it's like it's really funny to be with someone and then your attitude while you're sitting there is, I invite you to show up. I'm not going to put my script on you. I got my preferences, I got my fantasies, but if these are truly my fantasy, you know something, if my fantasy is your fantasy, the way that I know it is you'll be acting out my fantasy without you, me even telling you to, and you won't even think you're acting out my fantasy. You just think you're doing what you like. You know what I'm saying? And people think they can't have their fantasies. It's just that they can always have their fantasies, but they have to realize it's a fantasy. He said the minute that you forget that it's a fantasy is when it hurts you. That the only time an illusion can hurt you is when you make it real. It didn't say you couldn't have the experience. It said don't forget what it is or you're going to hurt yourself through it. Whew. I'm telling you, I've read this book over 90 times and I've loved every paragraph that I've read. And it's like that right there, like we just heard a minute ago. It does make sense to me that God wouldn't guide me. Because he says, I've given you perfect knowledge. You have complete knowledge. So you don't really need my guidance. But since you, then he turns around. He'll talk to you from your higher self. And then Jesus will turn right around and talk to you from your human self. So sometimes when you're reading the Course, it'll look like it's contradicting itself. And it's only talking to you from two different levels of consciousness. And you have to kind of see the context it's written in. And you'll know whether it's talking to you as the person that thinks you're the body. or if it's talking to you as if you're the child of God that's beyond the body. But it's talking to you to both. It's talking to both of our minds simultaneously at the same time. So it's healing us at both levels simultaneously. And our ego freaks out because it sees contradictions and paradoxes. Because it's linear. You know. And he says, if you want to save time, you want to go vertical. You want to be a vertical learner. And a vertical learner is someone who lets something that's greater and more powerful than it lift it up to where it wants to be. It's like when you were a kid and an adult, you could try it all day to climb up that, trying to get that cookie, you know what I'm saying, falling down, and, you know. And all of a sudden, the adult come up and go, swoop, whoop, and hold you up at the cookie jar, and you go in there, then you sit you back down. And of course, that's exactly the way God works for us. But we're so blasted egotistical that we think there's nothing higher than us that can lift us up. So we trying to be like the kid trying to figure out how to climb the cabinet to get to the cookie jar, and the grown up saying, "Would you like me to lift you up to the cookie jar?" No, I made up my mind. I'm gonna go up to the cookie jar this way. Let me get it that way, and I'm struggling my little can off. You know, I'm just struggling at my little can because I'm listening to the voice I made up, which is saying this is the only way I can get to the cookies is the way that I've made up. So he said, so I broke direct communication with God, which is direct communication with my knowledge about how to get to the cookie jar. So breaking your connection with God is severing yourself off from your own knowledge. You know what I'm saying, brother? Okay. Anybody else got anything to say about that? That chapter, about that paragraph. Because it don't take but one paragraph. It does not make any difference if we got another sentence of the Course in Miracles. But we are. All we need is one or two ideas that we remind each other of.
Well, I've been thinking for the last 2 weeks about something you said that fits right in. The pleasures that we fear ending bring no peace.
And that's what a physical pleasure is. It's a pleasure that comes and goes. That you don't know how long it's going to be there. You know what I'm saying? So you're afraid of it when it comes, and you're afraid when it leaves. You know what I'm saying? So the Course says we use our pleasures to make us as afraid as we use our pains. We're just as afraid around the pleasure we give ourselves, and actually more. I'm much more afraid of the pleasures than I am of the pain. I tell you about me, I am. It's like, real pleasure is always doing what you love. Like he said, a real pleasure is God's will. So real pleasure is doing what you love. That's what God's will is. And I was like, whoa, because sometimes I read these books and I think it's asking me to give up the pleasures of the body. And then I realized that the body doesn't even have a hope of pleasure. My body isn't making any decisions about anything I do with it. My body just as soon walked me off a cliff as to walk me to this chair. If I told my body to go over a cliff, my body doesn't even have any desires. All my desires are in my mind. That was deep. And then he turned around saying your feelings are in your mind too. So you're giving yourself all the feelings you have. So if you're giving yourself all the feelings you have, why don't you give yourself some feelings that make you feel good all the time? Since none of your feelings are really coming from anything outside yourself anyway. What, Jesus? It's like, when I pray to Jesus, I always say, Jesus of the Course. I want to make this very specific with what I'm praying to. I'm not praying to the sacrifice Jesus, okay? I'm praying to the Jesus that is about no sacrifice. It's about love. And I listen to him. Because I grew up as a Southern Baptist. And I heard some incredible things about Jesus, you know. Woo! The things that I saw being done in the name of Jesus was ridiculous. You know? So, Jesus got a bad rap. Jesus got sick of that stuff. So, Jesus used Helen Sugarman to tell the truth and get them lies cleared up. That's all that book is. Like, man, God, y'all just really off about what I taught. Let me see if I can, come back and kind of correct y'all's perception, because y'all going crazy. You know? And that's why the deeper... And the deeper you get into it, the more it weeds out the fearful mind, the more the ego leaves. That's why before I started getting this deep in the book like I'm doing with you all now and really reading it and us going through it like this, I had to get ready to trust God to take care of me, because I make my living through teaching classes, and I know the attendance was going to drop because I've done this 25 years. And I know the patterns of the ego, of my own ego, as it gets ready to change levels, because everything that's going to happen in my class is going to be a reflection of the change that I'm going through. So I don't have to worry about what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen to me. I know exactly what's going to happen to me. What's going to happen to me is what I'm being every moment. You know, what's going to happen to me is what's going to be what I'm being with you all right now. That's what's going to happen to me. And I want to be around some people that want to laugh with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of being miserable. Oh, and the next thing you change, if I could just make more money, if I could just have a better job, get my house, if I could just find someone to love me, if I could just have an orgasm, everything would be wonderful. Please, nothing, you know, it's like something outside of me has to change. I'm so sick of it. And then as soon as that thing look like it gets handled, I'd be doggone if something else doesn't come up. And then I'll tell myself, well, as soon as I get that handled, then I will be happy. And then something else comes up. You know, I'm like watching this, and it's like, wow. And he's saying, I'm telling you, man, what you're doing is you are choosing the wrong way. What you mean? You're not choosing to listen to what I'm telling you. You're not choosing to believe the truth about yourself. You're innocent, that you have power, that you're unlimited, that you're supported. You're not listening to the truth. You're not listening to the truth. You're listening to the other stuff. Photography is my hobby. And it's been my hobby since I was 16. And I love to take pictures of people. And when I take pictures of people, and they're looking just beautiful to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like beautiful. It's like if I'm looking at you, like I see you all the beauty, right? Then I take a picture of you, and I show you the picture. And all you're talking about is your pimple. Or you wish your breast stood up more. Or that I weighed about 10 pounds. I watch women and it just blows my mind. They'll just be gorgeous to me. And I watch them look at their image through the eyes of their ego and just hate the picture. Or don't like it. Or just, and it's just, and you're looking at it like, you're feeling really good. Say, wow, they're going to love this. You know what I'm saying? It's like, women are so hard on themselves around their bodies. I used to photograph fashion models. And it was like I suffered through that. And I, it was rough. But it was the test the Holy Spirit gave me. It's ridiculous. I can't tell you. Every fantasy I ever had about anything came true after I started studying the course. And it never talks about really fantasies and physical pleasures and all that kind of stuff in the book. Because the minute you focus on the truth, every single thing that your ego can do to distract you, it will do. And it knows the best distraction of all is to give you a physical pleasure that you want to the point that you'll forget the truth and you won't focus on the truth anymore. And all you want is whatever that physical pleasure you're having, whether it's that new car, that new house, that new job. It wants you because you check it out. Watch people. When they're in crisis, they'll come to something like this. And then as soon as they get out of the crisis, they'll drop it. Because they don't realize yet that if you keep the truth constant in your mind, you won't have those crises. All those crises you keep running back to, you're running back to because your ego is tempting you so much that you get lost off into that illusion again and you forget the truth. Like I said, and as soon as you forget the truth, you get hurt again. It's just like what the book says. As soon as you make the illusion real, this is it. This is all there is. This is what I got to have. Then he says, then it hurts you. And all the pain I've ever experienced has come primarily through something I wanted to possess all to myself. Now, that is true for everybody in this room. That any pain you've ever gone through has been as a result of some illusion that you made so real that you were no longer focusing on the truth anymore. Or you gave your truth away the minute you met the person that you thought was going to be your fantasy. All of a sudden you stopped being yourself, gave up your will, gave up your desires, and it was all about what that other person wanted and how you could help them do that. Or you even tried to become that yourself. You know, I didn't intend to be a peppermint Buddhist, but, you know, I got to have it. You know, so, how good, baby? Happy peppermint Buddhist. We would be doing some peppermint chants tonight. You know, we will give ourselves away to get our fantasies sometimes. So the ego sometimes uses what we want in order to make us forget who we really are. And so the Course says, this is what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Look, I saw this line, I just read it a million times. He said, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take every one of your fantasies, and I'm going to use it to take you to God. I'm going to use it to take you to exactly the place you want to go, to the real deal. And I have to remind myself that over and over again, because my ego tried to tell me that I'm going to have to sacrifice, that I'm going to have to give up my pleasure, you know, at the level of the body, at the level of the earth, at the level of the world. And then the Course says, I'm going to use every single thing that you do, every single thing that you do to take you back to the truth, to God, to love. I don't care what you come up with. You can have your greatest, I want your imagination to just go for it. You know why? Because when you get through imagining what you want, the only thing you've done is given me another way to bring your happiness to you that you thought up, but you got to let me do it. So it's nothing wrong with you asking for what you want, but you just have to make no decisions without me, and then you can have it. You want that widescreen TV? I will use that widescreen TV to show you all kinds of spiritual television shows. You know what I'm saying? It's like anything you want can be used to take you to God, to happiness, to truth.
He says, isn't that what you gravitate to then too? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you get in that space, it's like your fantasies kind of shift a little bit, and that's what comes in your life, and that's what you gravitate to. The things that are going to bring you closer and closer and closer to God.
Exactly.
And it's spirit doing that whole shift in your head.
And your biggest job, you know? Your biggest job is to be open to it. It's to stay open to it. And stay true to yourself, true to your purpose. You know, every time I get ready to do anything, I try to ask myself. He said, ask yourself, what is it for? What's the purpose of it? You know, okay, you want to make this connection. Why? Be straight up with yourself. What is it for? You know, you want to do blah, blah, blah. He said, ask, what is it for? What for? Why? So, you know, somebody walk up to you and say they want to go out with you. You should say, what for? What is your purpose?
What is your purpose?
What would you like to do with me? And that, wouldn't that kind of trip you out, somebody saying that? You know, but isn't that, when you think about it, a very reasonable question? Could you imagine how much chaos you would save yourself if you got that clear at the very beginning? It's like the very first thing, you know, okay, what are we for? What is this for? See, when somebody does that to me, I know that I'm dealing with a conscious being. You know, because my biggest problem was I used to couldn't tell when the person was crazy until after I got deeply involved with them. Did anybody else have that problem?
Oh.
That at the very beginning it looked like it's just the perfect thing you ever want to see. And this book is telling me how to tell the difference between love and fear. Like he said, you know, like the next sentence, it says, check that, it says, the Holy Spirit calls you both to remember and to forget. So your sane mind, that's the Holy Spirit, calls you both to remember and to forget. So when I'm talking to somebody who loves me, they're asking me to remember how loved I am, and they ask me to forget how much I might think I'm not loved. A loving mind is going to ask you to remember, and it's also going to ask you to forget. Remember how much I love you now. Forget what you was mad at me about yesterday. Remember you love me right now. Forget the idea that we're separate right now. That's what you mean when you're saying love me right now. I'm saying, when you forget the idea that we think we're separate right now, that's what I love you mean. I'm willing to let go of the idea that we're separate and different right now. That's what somebody should be saying, said, I love you. So you know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm willing to release any idea of me and you being separate right now. Then it helps me not get into that typical definition of love, which is somebody's here to fulfill my personal fantasy, that I hold a grievance against them if they don't do it good enough, especially after I share any part of my body.
Especially after that, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm telling you, it's a trip.
Yeah.
It's a trip. All this stuff, I saw it after studying the Course. The Course made all this so clear to me. Then he says, you have chosen to be in a state of opposition in which opposites are possible. So, how can you tell when you're in a state of opposition? You're at a place where you think it's possible for opposites to exist. So we think that opposites exist. We think there's love and there's fear, there's up and there's down, there's cold and right. Well, he says that is what's called a state of opposition. That means that I am in a state of opposition right now because I think that opposites are possible. So since I think that opposites are possible, then that's the same as saying, I think there are some choices I need to make. If I'm in a world where there seems to be opposites and contrast, then there are some choices I need to make. Do y'all see choices y'all need to make? Do you see yourself as in a world where there's a lot of opposites? Love and fear, peace and conflict. Okay, so that means we're in a place where we got to make some choices. Hello? We're in a place where we have to make some choices. Okay, now, he says, now, in the holy state, the will is free. So, when we're in our natural state, we have unlimited creative power. Because when you're in your natural state, choice doesn't mean anything. Now, what the hell does that mean? That means that if we were in our natural state, which is nothing but love, then choice wouldn't mean anything because we wouldn't ever choose anything but love. Choice is meaningless because anything I choose is going to bring me the same thing, love. There's nothing I can do in my natural state to get away from love. If I really loved you, I wouldn't have no choice. I could no more not choose to love somebody that I really loved than the man in the moon. There is, you don't have no, if I can sit back and analyze whether or not I should love you, then I don't love you. What I'm really doing is analyzing whether or not I should make you special. I'm trying to decide whether or not I'm going to make you special. But if I was in love with you, if I was feeling real love with you, there wouldn't be no choice. Because there wouldn't be no other state I'd want. Oh, I'm so glad my same mind finally began to peek above the ground. You know what I'm saying? It's like my same mind going, you know what I'm saying? That's what I feel like right now. Oh, Lord, I'm peeping. You know, that's what I feel right now. My mind is changing. It's like, that's what I mean when I said that about having to trust God to take care of me right now. Because I know the people in my life are going to change right now, really rapid, and some aren't, but some are. And I'm having to, like, really make that okay. And I've seen that in the classes over the last few weeks. I see so much change in the people and everything. It's like, which to me is a sign my mind is changing. And then the people that stick around are the people who are changing just like me. And that's why we're still in the same plane, so of course we still see each other sitting in the seats. But some people deboard. And some people stay on the plane with you. So, and you don't get mad at the people who say that they live in Albuquerque and you're going on to Memphis and they get off the plane. You go, okay, have a good time. You may even try to give them a hug. And that's why I'm trying to look at the people who lead my life. It's like, okay, they deplaned in a little bit more pain than I wanted to be in. Or they deplaned in a little bit more joy than I'm letting myself have. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I realize, but there's still people on the plane. And there we are. The trip is, can I handle it? All of y'all deboarded. And I was sitting on the plane by myself. Now that's the true test of my connection with Holy Spirit. It's how I do not feel alone even when my body is alone. That's how you know when you make your connection with the Source. It's when your body is alone, you don't feel alone. But if you're one of these people that you can't ever be alone, you need to make your connection with your voice for God. Because you give your power away when you believe your happiness depends on being with another body. Be surprised how good people will treat you if they think you'll be happy without them. You'll be surprised. I mean, they treat you so good. So they know you're going to be happy anyway. You know what I'm saying? So just the way to get on board, you know what I'm saying? And just ride with you. Because you're going to be happy anyway. They can't affect your happiness. They're just going to join you in it. That's the only way they can meet you.
That's how you have no attachments to anything, then, because you're just, you're whole, you're happy, and it doesn't matter who's there. Wow. I mean, that is...
I love you so much, I don't even care if you're not around. That's the person they love. You go, oh God, will you marry me? Yeah, I'll marry you because I'll be free. Marrying you will not change my state at all, other than I'll have even more joy because you and I got a cool connection. You know, it's like, it's a trip. 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 Oh God. This next sentence is also a sentence that's beautifully powerful. It says, it gives a definition of freedom. It says, freedom to choose is the same power as the freedom to create. So if you want to create, you choose. Right? He says, but its application is different. In other words, the only person that can choose is a person that choosing depends on having a split mind. I'll say it again. The only kind of mind that can choose is a mind that's split. So the mere fact that I need to choose whether to love you or choose whether to hate you means I have a split mind. My mind has both thoughts in it, love and fear. So anytime you're around anybody and they say they have to make a choice, then you know you're with a mind that has love and fear in it. If there is no choice, then there is no love and fear in my mind because I just can't have it. You know, so if I love you, there is no love and fear in my mind because that choice is meaningless. There's nothing else for me to choose but to love you. So you're not dealing with a double person. You're dealing with a person that's really going to give you 100% love because they can't help themselves. They have to. You know, it's like they don't have no choice. You know, you're somebody that walks with you, oh, I just ain't have no choice but to love you. I just can't help it. I'm trying not to, but I couldn't do it. That's what you're looking for. Somebody, I wanted not to love you. I wanted not to treat you right, but I just had to treat you right anyway. That's the way a loving person talks. You know. And so after a while, you can tell when you're talking to a person who's loving, and you can tell when you're talking to a person who's in fear. And then you become safe in the world because you know which voice is the one to listen to. It's just like the book claim. Okay, so he says, choosing depends on a split mind. Then he says, the Holy Spirit, which is the same mind, which is love, it is one way of choosing. So one way that you could choose is for the Holy Spirit. You could choose for the voice that always gives you the love. You could choose for the voice that always gives you the love. You could choose for the voice that always gives you the love. And that's exercising your freedom at a physical level. He says, freedom to choose is the same power as the freedom to create. But the freedom to choose is just your making a choice. That's your freedom to choose. It's your making a choice. And in this level, he says, that's the same as creating. That you create at the physical level of consciousness by choosing what you want. So things are not created physically unless you choose them. Whatever you want at a physical level, you choose it. And then he says, if you're smart, you choose the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you're smart, you choose the truth. If you're smart, you choose the love. If you're smart, you choose your guiltlessness. If you're smart, you choose your innocence. If you're smart, you choose your freedom. If you're smart. But you have the freedom to create here. But I'm going to tell you that's the same as you have the freedom to choose. So it would be to your advantage to choose for God, is what he just told us. Because there's just two things you can choose, love or fear. So we need to choose love. So I need to forget anything that makes me think I'm not loving, and I need to remember everything that does. because I'm in a state of opposition, so I need to make choices. And there's not but two choices to make. One choice is going to bring me what I've already experienced, and the other is going to bring me love. God did not leave his children comfortless, even though his children chose to leave him. Oh, that's where my abandonment issue got started. I walked out on God. I could just see that. God, I had it with you. I'm gone. Total joy, total peace, total happiness. I am a rebellious child. I don't believe I deserve that. So I'm going to leave this joy. To rebel against God, the only thing that I can do is become miserable. Because a rebellion means I got to be different from the thing I'm rebelling at from. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm rebelling from the truth, I have to be in the illusion. If I'm rebelling from the love, I don't deserve that love. I don't deserve that peace. I have to do more before I can have joy. I got to get some more degrees, some more knowledge. I have to read some more books. I got at least 10 more workshops. Because as long as you think you don't deserve it, then you put yourself in a reality where you need to do 10 more workshops. Because you're rebelling against the joy you can have right now. And so every time you forget and you go for the pain, I'm going to put a voice in your mind that's going to remind you of the love that you forgot about. So when I come into a person's life, I want to be the reminder of the love they forgot about. The truth they forgot about. The peace that they forgot about. I've been meeting people that's so cool that it's like, oh, it hit me one day. Well, now, Earl, who you're meeting now are normal people. I've been so used to dealing with my dysfunctional self and therefore dealing with dysfunctional people that I forgot there were normal people. I didn't even realize normal people existed. People who weren't insecure, who wasn't jealous, who could give up some freedom, who was interested in taking responsibility, wanting to share, wanting to play. It's like, I forgot that there were normal people in the world. That, you know, that really are not trying to learn how to give freedom. Because they're doing it. And they're being it. And they're being safe. And they're being loving. And I'm meeting them and I'm seeing them, you know. And and then all of a sudden you realize it's nothing special. All of a sudden you get, this is a trip. I've been working all these years for something that wasn't even special. It's special to be as crazy as I was. That was being really special. You know, I'm tired of being special. I want to be normal. You know, I can put my special issues and my special problems and my special. You know? All of us are special. Every one of us are special. He said, that's the only way you can be special is to include everybody. So if I really want to be special, I got to say you all are special too. I can't be special by myself and truly be special. Because there's nothing I can do by myself that will ever last. Because reality comes from joining. So I'm looking for the people that want to join. So this is telling us that even though we chose to leave the love didn't leave us. It says the voice we put in our minds, the voice they put in their minds, the voice I put in my mind was not the voice for God's will for which the Holy Spirit speaks. I chose to leave God. I put a voice in my mind that is not a voice for God's will. That is not a voice for happiness. It's not a voice for joy. And the will of God is going to always speak for my joy. Did y'all notice that paragraph 6 said the exact same thing as paragraph 5? But it used totally different words. There's absolutely no difference between those two paragraphs. That's how deep this book is. It looks like the words are different, but it said the same thing again. You got opposites. You got a choice to make. That at this level, choosing is what creates. But you want to just choose with the part of you that loves you. He said the same thing again. Now, then he says, when you're listening to the voice for the Holy Spirit, if you're listening to the voice of God, it does not command you. Because it's incapable of arrogance. If you're listening to your higher self, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, it does not demand. Because the voice of love does not seek control. So if somebody loves you, they're not trying to control you. If somebody loves you, they're not making demands on you. If somebody loves you, they're not being arrogant with you. If somebody loves you, they do not command you. See, I just told us how you can tell when you're dealing with a love, the voice for God. Tamika, if you come into me from the voice for God, the first thing I know is you won't command me, you won't demand me, you won't try to control me, you won't try to overcome me, and you won't try to attack me. And anybody that does that is someone that I know loves me. If I want to be with a loving person, then I want to be with a person that's not commanding me, that is not arrogant, that is not demanding, that is not trying to control me, that's not trying to overcome me, and is not trying to attack me. So that just tells you, it tells you exactly how to tell when you're listening to a voice that's coming from the truth or somebody who's sane. And this freaks out the people who do that. The people who do command, who do demand, who do control, who do try to overcome, who do try to attack, those people freak out when you don't allow them to do that to you because you instantly realize they don't love you and your own common sense tells you not to do what somebody wants you to do who doesn't love you. So all of a sudden, this willpower that you never had before, you have before. You know, I used to, something come up that was negative and you really didn't want to give in to it, you do. But the once you recognize that it really is not for your own best interest and it is not love, you don't have, your own common sense kicks in and you won't have no problem not doing that thing. So if I'm with someone, if I'm in a situation and they're breaking the laws of love with me, then I am totally responsible for whatever experiences I choose to have with them if I enter into that connection. Of course I'll have to forgive because I know they don't know how to practice the truth when I first hooked up with them because they were already trying to control me. So I know this is a person that doesn't know the truth, so I know if I enter into a relationship with them, I'm going to have to practice forgiveness. I just have to accept that at the very beginning. Like if I want to get connected with someone, or you want to get connected with someone, but you know that person isn't conscious of the truth, you know that just by the way they're talking. You know that. That's just what you've studied and what they're talking. Then if you're going to insist because there's some kind of a strong attraction anyway, you're going to go ahead and make that choice, then you must go into that relationship with the attitude that you're going to be very forgiving of this person. Because this person is not going to come out of love all the time because they've got a split mind. You know that because of the fact that they're trying to control you. They're getting mad at you. They're trying to control you, so you know. And, you know, I do that. And I have done that. I have known what was not best for me and went ahead and moved on in any way. I call that fate. Destiny. Fate and destiny is anything that I didn't have the awareness to not get into before I got into it. That was a lesson I had decided to learn. That's how you can tell a lesson that you've just set up for yourself that you've decided to learn. Because you enter into it fully realizing the consequences of it before you even go do it. Because you already know. You already know yourself well enough to know whether what that person is presenting you with is what's compatible with you. So you know if you go ahead and do it anyway, it just means you're going to get an opportunity to practice forgiveness. You're going to give yourself a lab test. It's coming up. And you could have a great time in a relationship if you could forgive. That would turn that whole relationship into a really cool relationship. Because you'd be constantly taking responsibility for what you're experiencing. And you know you're the one that's doing it to yourself. So you'll enjoy them and then forgive them and enjoy them and forgive them and forgive them and forgive them and enjoy them and forgive them and forgive them. You know, so that's the way it works when you in one of those lessons, you know. I enjoy you, I forgive you, 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 I enjoy you. That's what a special experience is, and I enjoy you, I forgive you relationship.
You get done with that lesson after a while, right?
Say what?
You get done with that lesson after a while.
Yeah, and I think anybody that studies the Course in Miracles sincerely is a person that's done with that lesson. That's my personal feeling. I don't feel like you even begin to stick with the Course in Miracles until you are ready for permanent joy, until you're really ready for some happiness that lasts, until you're ready to stop hurting. You know, you reached your limit of pain. You reached your limit of pain to the point that you are willing to be wrong. you know, you would, I just want the truth. I just want the help. I just want out of this. I want to have peace all the time. I want it so much, I'll actually listen. I'll be open-minded. I'll even entertain it. Might be another way. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to stop here, you luscious Holy Spirits. And, thank you for sharing me, because I'm living through teaching the course, so I appreciate you all's appreciation on whatever level feels great for you. But I've decided that I'm going to allow myself to become more prosperous, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes and through God's will to do that. And does anybody else in here want to join me in that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really am. I've held back my prosperity because I was afraid of what I would do if I had the freedom if I could bankroll my freedom. And so I purposely would limit myself in order to try to hold back the damage I thought I could do. And I'm ready to be free again. And I'm ready to experience what I know I deserve. And I want you to have that same experience. Because I can't possibly want all of me to be happy and not want you to be happy too, if you're me. That's how I can tell when I'm dealing with a person that knows the oneness. They'll know that. They'll know that it won't be real for them unless it's real for everybody else, too. Of course, there is no such thing as personal interest. Isn't that deep? There is no such thing as personal interest. Because the interest you have to tell somebody about isn't real. And what's real, nobody has to explain. And that's the truth. If it's real, you really don't have to do no explaining.
It's real is hard to explain too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Real is beyond explanation. And that's where we're going. We're going somewhere that's beyond explanation. The word where words don't even do it justice anymore. Which explains why higher beings are silent. They're having an experience that renders them speechless. It's like we're surrounded, but we don't hear them because they're so happy they can't say nothing. You know, just like because we're already getting glimpses of that, where what we are experiencing is beyond what we can articulate, beyond what we can explain. We are going into the silence of true joy. And then you're just going to be it. And then it's going to radiate out from you. It's going to protect you because anything that wouldn't cause you joy would be repelled. So end the violent attack on you. And then everything that will support your peace will be attracted to you, so you feel safer and safer and safer and safer and safer and safer. That's where we're going. Two choices, two voices, make one choice. Two choices, two voices, make one choice. And if it's love, choice is meaningless.
I like what you said about the split mind, because that makes me just more aware of, you know, the two minds. But the split mind, I don't know, it just kind of resonated with me.
Yeah, the evil twins.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you got to be aware of the evil twin. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got an evil twin. You know what I'm saying? They're part of us. We all do. We got that face of innocence face. It's so cute and nice and kind. And then we got that other face. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look what you did to me.
I've been having a lot of humor in my life lately. I like to call God the dude now.
Well, I ain't riding home with you. I'm going to miss that lightning bolt.
About the dude out there and that, you know, and I just thought it was so comical, because you can give God any name, you know, it doesn't make any difference, but that kind of resonated, made me laugh. So
yeah.
So the dude is my God. And then I flashlight, I'm out here in the universe with my searchlight searching, you know. But actually, I turned it around and lights on me.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I'm saying. We are a little garden. And
We can watch our garden grow. We really can. We can go. I want to acknowledge y'all for going this deep today. You know, and really, 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 really taking the time to go through each sentence and really hear and get what it's saying. That's powerful. But I got some mighty companions. So I'll see y'all the next time. Freedom to choose is the freedom to create at this level. That was my jewel for today. The power of choice was brought home to me at another level, and how to use my relationships.
Good for me too.
Was it good for you as it was for me?
Yes.
All right now. Good. I'm glad.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you.